of the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There shall be continuous day, and not day and not night, for at evening time there shall be light. Let us bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the Lord of life and of death. We acknowledge Thee in all of our ways and in all of the events which come to us. All our deep springs are in Thee. May we feel Thy nearness now and know Thy mercy is upon us. In sorrow of heart, yet in quietness and confidence, we have gathered here today to express our appreciation for one who is very near and who is very dear, and to find the comfort that can only come through the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that presence gives us great assurance. And our Father, today, as we are gathered on this occasion, we would lift up our hearts in the same way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. From the Old Testament, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly or the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows in the Lord in the presence of all of his people. From the New Testament, it will be like a man who was about to leave home on a trip. He called his servant and put him in charge of his property. He gave to each one according to his ability. To one he gave $5,000, to another he gave $2,000, and to another he gave $1,000. Then he left on his trip. The servant, who had received $5,000, went at once and invested his money and earned another $5,000. In the same way, the servant who received $2,000 earned another $2,000. But the servant who received $1,000 went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled account with them. The servant who had received $5,000 came in and handed over the other $5,000. "You gave me $5,000, sir," he said. "Look, here are another $5,000 that I've earned." "Well done, good and faithful servant," said the master. "You have been faithful in managing small amounts, so I will put you in charge of a large amount. Come on in and share my happiness." Then the servant who had been given $2,000 came in and said, "You gave me $2,000. Sir, look, here are another $2,000 that I've earned." "Well done, good and faithful servant," said the master. "You have been faithful in managing small amounts, so I will put you in charge of large amounts. Come in and share my happiness." And then the king will say to the people on his right, "Ye who are blessed by my Father, come, and receive the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you received me into your home. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." The righteous will then answer, "When, Lord, did we see thee hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you in our homes, are naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer back, "I tell you indeed, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these my brethren, ye did it unto me." See how much the Father hath loved us. His love is so great that we are called children of God. And so in fact we are. This is why the world does not know us. It has not known God. My dear friends, we are now God's children. But it is not yet clear what we shall become. But this we know, when Christ appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he really is. My soul is bound for glory land, no pain, no grief, no loss, no weary tramp through desert sand, nor poverty, nor cross, nor foiled desires, nor sin, nor death, nor Satan's piercing darts can quench the spirit, kindle faith, within my trusting heart. My soul is bound for glory land. I lay my burdens down, and from my Savior's nail-scarred hand receive the promised crown. His love will wipe all tears away. I'll know as I am known. He taught my tested faith to pray, Thy will, not mine, be done. Let us bow in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, from everlasting to everlasting, who hast given us life and opportunity to serve and to love, and we bless Thy holy name. We thank Thee for the revelation that we have of Thyself in the lives of others, including the one we have come to honor today, our own beloved Cecil. For his love of Jesus Christ and the church, and for his radiance and kind spirit, and for his wisdom and for his courage, and for his unselfish deeds and his gentle manner of life, we thank Thee. O God, we are inspired by his example in the courteous way in which he served and lived. And in his dedication, help us, O God, to walk in his steps as he followed the Master, Jesus Christ. And by thy providence, thou hast called him now to that greater life beyond. We are comforted by the assurance that death, which has brought us sorrow, has meant release and peace to our beloved friend. Help us, we pray, as we somehow contemplate today that all about us there are our friends. There are those who have caught the challenge of life, and thou hast prepared us even to hear thy words as the scripture we read. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. So we ask this in the name of our beloved Christ and for his sake. Amen. No man ever lives to himself. The spirit of Christianity is something that ignores selfishness. Our religion exalts man who was made in the image of God. For man, the ground yields its increase. The sun shines to bless his crops. The stars beam their beauty to show him his way on a darkened night. And the wind blows to cool his fevered brow. The earth, the air, the ocean, all that God has put in this world have been commissioned to do a man good. No matter what a man's work may be or what his rank and power may be in life, whatever habits he may have, we always come back to the glorious truth. No man lives to himself. His plans, his aspirations, he may build a wall around himself. A man may say, this is my land, this is my home, this is my car, these are my possessions. But still, Paul says in this great principle in Romans 14, 7 through 9, when there had risen a dispute in the church about the case of meat and days, Paul lays down a rule in which he says, none of us liveth to himself. None of us dieth to himself. You know, that is the description of a Christian man living unto the Lord and dying unto the Lord. Living unto the Lord, we recognize that the Lord will rule our lives. Here is the marked difference between a man who lives for himself and a man who lives for the Lord. He lives to obey the Lord. All the duties of his life will gravitate toward the satisfying of his Maker. His heart is centered in his family. A conscience to shun hell, a compassion to gain heaven. No compromise of duty, but he derives all of his greatness from his character that is given him through the Lord. We live unto the Lord and we die unto the Lord. And to live for Christ is to live with responsibility. In the New Testament, we find a love that is presented here. And it is a love that the poet pictured when he wrote, Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast. But sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. The spirit of our text and thought is not how many months, how many years, how many days we may live, but it is the success of our service, and it is that we do not live unto ourselves. All flesh is as grass, all flesh is as the flowers before us that will fade. To love God, this is joy. To know Christ, this is great gain. To do his will, this is life. Here we die while we live, and while we die, we die unto the Lord. And this is an important declaration. And that's why the scripture says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That event is big and instructs us. The prayers that a righteous man like Cecil would offer are now lost. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The family loses a guide when something like this happens. The church loses a servant, a supporter, when something like this happens. The city loses a good citizen when a man like this passes on. And the God in heaven even has lost a good servant here on this earth with his stewardship. A man with a spirit has departed now. You may ask the question, if the righteous man is so dear to Christ, so valuable to the world, why is it that we are doomed to die? Why is it that religion does not save us? Why is it that there is not something that would exempt us from death? Evil and sin cannot and only be shown by death. God hates sin, and the body in which you and I live is going to die. And the death of a good man preaches to us. It preaches to us that we need to repent. Therefore today, the principle of our text is beautiful. It is so exemplified in the life of Cecil Poynter. I found him to be a man of a simple, single, devout heart. He, to my estimation, was a man who lived very simply and yet genuinely, born of God, consecrated unreservedly to his church and to the folks he knew. All the way through the changes of his life, when he was a little boy, when he was a young person, when he was a man, when he married, when there came to his home a daughter and a son, he exhibited the same steady, onward devotion. A man of God, a man of faith. No accumulation of cares caused him to relax his effort ever to do good. Cecil had a lot of trials. He had a lot of problems. Maybe he had more than maybe the average. But there is one thing about it. He never relaxed his loyalty to that of being a good man. My acquaintance with my dear brother began many years ago, and he made an impression upon me in living an humble life. It seems to me that it took very little to satisfy him. He was always ready to fulfill what he might do in our midst. He was generous. He was kind. He was very affectionate. And I like that. Wonderful characteristic about his life. He was an individual that you just sort of loved. You know, as a man, you felt really that you could understand him and that he understood you and that you could converse with him. And that was one of the genuine characteristics about him that caused you to feel that here was a man who loved everybody. The evidence of all of you dear friends here today speaks very well for what I've just said. He loved his family very dearly. He loved us. He was one of the most polite men you would ever want to meet. Courteous in every way, thoughtful of all those about him. And his interests really are too numerous for me to go into. I should be real brief, but I did want to say these two or three things about him because I think it's very important. You know, when a man gives us such an example, it ought to be a challenge to us to try to follow this example. He had a lot of recognitions. He got recognitions through the Ford Motor Company, an agency through which he worked. He was recognized for the 300 to 500 Club. And not once, not twice. But you never heard Cecil brag about this. But I've had the privilege of seeing one of his little trophies over there. He has several. But it says on that, here's a 10-year recognition for being one of the top salesmen in the 300 to 500 Club. for 10 years. And how did he do that? He did that because he believed in fairness. His whole motto, one of his mottos in life, was fairness. He believed if he told somebody something, that he ought to live up to it. And he believed if he told somebody something, it ought to be done. And of course, that's how he was able to be that type of individual. We could say much about his personality and about his unusual gifts. But I know he was a man of God. I used to visit him often, especially during these last days. And he would say to me, "Preacher, it's better today, or it's bad. And let's have a word of prayer." He'd say, "Please do. Please do." He had faith. And all of us today have been enriched by his faith. And I know that he has strengthened your life just as he has strengthened mine. Let us bow now in prayer. Our Father and our God, we know that your Spirit has always been with us. And today, we say with this poet, "Servant of God, well done. Rest from thy loved employ. The battle fought, the victory won. Enter thy master's joy. The pains of death are past. Labor and sorrow cease. And life's long warfare closed at last. His soul is found in peace. Soldier of Christ, well done. Praise be thy new employ. And while eternal ages run, rest in thy Savior's joy. And God, grant to each of us in this beloved family and these children and these dear intimate friends of his loved ones that have been with him, yea, even from boyhood time, comfort each heart today and help us to know that thy wonderful sun shines on us as Cecil has parted now to be with the Son in glory who will care for him. In Jesus' name, amen."